Welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and I'm really, really excited about our episode today. As part of the sexual health series, we have Kristen Jensen, the author of the best-selling Good Pictures, Bad Pictures series of read aloud books. With over 150,000 copies sold worldwide in 5 languages, her books are a valuable resource to help children develop an internal filter against inappropriate content. She is the founder of Protect Young Minds, an organization dedicated to helping parents empower their kids with the tools to resist and reject pornography, and continues to be a strong voice for protecting children from all forms of sexual exploitation. Welcome, Kristen Jensen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Monica. So good to be here with you.
Oh, I just love this. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Well, I am married for quite a long time. And I have 3 children, 2 daughters who are still with me, 1 son who's waiting for us in heaven. My oldest daughter has 2 young children now. So that's exciting. Now in the grandma stage. Doesn't feel like it's been that long since I was raising kids at home. And then I've got my other daughter who's a scientist at a major national laboratory. I live with my husband and my little cute dog. We moved to a new area, and that's how I got started with this cause of protecting children from pornography. So that's just a little bit about myself. I love to garden. And this year, because we've kind of had to stay at home and so many of the travel that I usually do has been canceled, my backyard is looking really great. And my garden. So I've got a vegetable garden and I've got flowers. And so that's been kind of fun.
Yeah, that is fun. It's fun when you can stick around in the summer and enjoy those. We usually travel so much in the summer too. It's hard to enjoy the backyard. But I would love to hear the story about how you got involved teaching children about pornography and what you love most about what you do now.
How I got started was we moved to this new city. I met this new woman. You know, when you move and your kids are grown, you just don't have any friends. So you're always on the lookout. Anyway, this woman called me one night and asked if we could talk, and sounded like she had a big burden to share. And we talked to 1:30 in the morning. She had found out that her oldest son, 17 years old at the time, had been sexually molesting. There's all different ways you can call it, but basically engaging in sexual behavior with his younger brothers and sisters. So from the 14-year-old all the way down to the 4-year-old, he had to be prosecuted. Thankfully, in our state, there was a program that he could go to. Some states don't have a lot. And then the kids went to counseling, and it was just horrific. So woke up the next morning, and I just felt compelled to look for a resource, like a book, because I knew there were books about child safety and those kinds of books. And I thought, there's got to be books about pornography, about protecting kids from pornography and what to do when you see it. But I couldn't find anything. So I got this crazy idea to write a book. And I thought, can't be that hard. I'm an English major, you know, and I thought, oh, it can't be that hard. I'll take a couple weeks during the summer, pull it together, get my friend to illustrate it. Oh my gosh, that actually took 3 years to do it. And I realized after I had started that this was a daunting project, because you had to explain to children what pornography is, why it's harmful, and what to do when you see it without mentioning the word sex. Because we knew there were kids that were going to be exposed to this before their parents ever started that conversation, which I will say they should start earlier rather than later. But given that reality, I wanted to make sure that was the first part, like how I got started doing this. Never want to have anything to do with pornography. Honestly, life takes you in really strange directions sometimes. So, but what I love about what I do is I love helping and empowering parents. I love to encourage them, and I love to equip them to help their children know what to do when they see pornography, to protect themselves from pornography. Because, you know, when parents face this problem head on, their kids won't have to face it alone. The entire bond between the parents and the child is actually strengthened when they tackle tough topics together. Mm. That's what I love.
I love that so much. And what a beautiful mission you're on that you were not looking for. That just kind of fell on you. Well, I'm going to start with one of the most obvious questions, but what age is the best best age to start talking to your children about pornography? You had mentioned you can talk to them long before you have the whole set up. So what is the right age?
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
At what age do children get any access to the internet?
That's a great question because it's younger and younger and younger.
Right. So if your child is 3 years old and you're handing them an iPad and they get to go on YouTube Kids or wherever else and they get to get on the internet for anything, you need to start having these conversations. And in fact, after I wrote my original book that is more for like 7 to 11 year olds, it's a read aloud book. After I wrote Good Pictures, Bad Pictures for 7 to 11 year olds, I was asked by several parents, when was I going to write a book for younger children, for 3 year olds? And I remember the first time I was speaking, this mother came up and she says, do you have anything for preschoolers? Honestly, felt like she had punched me in the gut because I was thinking, oh my gosh, 3 year olds? From then on, you know, I created this Good Pictures, Bad Pictures junior book. Both books are Amazon number one bestsellers. So obviously there's a need out there.
Well, that is really amazing. And I remember the first time I got my hands on Good Pictures, Bad Pictures junior, my kids were older. They had already aged out of the junior edition, but I still thought it was very, very helpful in the way it explained all of those concepts. Even I was like, I handed it to my teenager. I was like, look, you need to read this book.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because, I mean, the junior one we made for kids and it has these little hidden cameras in there. So we make it fun. So it's really simple, really easy. It's really a great way because when you start younger, you're not worried about being awkward, right?
Right.
It's easy. They just take it as a matter of fact, like, okay, that's just one more thing. And you talk to them, you read the book, and then, hey, mom, can I go out to play? Or can I have a peanut butter jelly sandwich or whatever? You know, it's kind of like, la, 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 la. We're not opening up their heads and pouring in all the darkness of pornography. We're just giving them simple, age-appropriate protections, right? An age-appropriate definition of what bad pictures are and a simple, age-appropriate way of telling them that it can be dangerous to them and harmful. And then a simple plan so that when they see it, they know exactly what to do. Yeah. And I think that's so important for kids because they don't know. We think they would know to come and tell us. Most kids don't.
Yeah.
I've had so many stories.
I agree that having a plan, like knowing what to do, is so important. And so that brings up an interesting point because kids are getting access to the internet younger and younger. It's so important for parents to teach kids about the dangers and pitfalls of the things that they might see online. So should parents warn children about pornography even before they even think about sex? And what about the concern of kind of talking to them about this subject that would inevitably make them more curious about something we're not ready to talk about yet?
That is such a great question, Monica. And I know most parents have this question. They are worried, you know, what if I tell my kids about pornography? They're just going to get online and go search for it. And then, oh my gosh, you know, then I'm guilty. Because now I've, you know, opened this up. Well, I really feel that the biggest threat to our children is being caught off guard. So you do have two options. One option is the cross your fingers option, and that's cross your fingers and hope that your child does not get exposed by a peer at school, at church, wherever, on the playground, until the day after you've opened this conversation, right? And I tell you, if you can do that, then you should be very wealthy because you can also predict the stock market, right? That's the other thing. So I think that it's so important for us to do the proactive plan. So that's the other option, is to warn your children about the very real dangers that they are growing up with. And not to say, oh, it's a terrible world. No, it's a wonderful world. And there are many blessings and benefits to our digital, you know, the internet and all that. And the app. But there's also this other side. No one does very well when they're caught off guard, you know, and we can't expect our children to do well if we haven't warned them. So I like hashtag sooner is safer. Sooner is safer because you cannot control when your kids are going to be exposed to this. You just can't.
It's true. As parents, we're kind of fighting against this like multi-billion, trillion-dollar industry that like their whole focus is to target our children. And so if we have any prayer of protecting them, then we have to start earlier. We have to beat them to the punch.
Yes, exactly.
So why do you think it's so hard for parents to begin these conversations about pornography, and how do your books help with that?
So it's hard because you don't know what to say. You don't know how much to say. I've talked with my neighbor when I first started writing this book. I went over and I showed her. Turns out she's a social worker and she's dealt with issues of children being groomed with pornography, groomed for sexual abuse. And she's dealt with it in her professional life, but she had three children, three boys. She had no idea how to even start the conversation. In fact, her friend had called her up a month before and said, my eight-year-old daughter, right, we gave her an iPod Touch with an internet connection. We told her about the birds and the bees and found out for months she was looking at the most horrendous pornography. And so my neighbor was just like, oh, freaking out. Here she is, a trained professional. She did not know how to start this conversation. So of course you're concerned, like maybe I'm going to say too much. How do I even define pornography in a way that's not going to take away my child's innocence? Fear never helps us go forward. Fear never gives us a plan or a pathway. Fear just says, don't do that. Don't go there. Right? So we got to get out of fear and we need to be proactive. And I have so many stories. For example, if I could tell a story of a nine-year-old boy, his mother read Good Pictures, Bad Pictures to him, which includes a very simple definition of pornography. It includes how pornography can affect the brain, the difference between your thinking brain and your feeling brain, and how you want to keep your thinking brain that knows right from wrong in charge by using the can-do plan, which is, again, a plan. So you've got a definition, a warning, and a plan. She read him Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. A few days later, he went to school and one of his classmates during recess pulled out his phone, showed him pornography. This little boy immediately knew what it was. He went home and as part of the can-do plan, he told his mom about it. He said to her, I was scared, but I knew what to do. Mm-hmm. I was scared, but I knew what to do. I mean, can you imagine the burden that's just lifted off of that little child's shoulders because he has an ally that's opened this conversation and told him about the real dangers that are in his world and how to deal with them and how to neutralize them, basically. So what better gift can you give your kids than to teach them how to thrive in the world that they're actually growing up in? Not the world that we grew up in, not the world we wish they were growing up in, but the actual world that they are growing up in. And what that does is deepen the trust between a parent and a child.
You know, it's so interesting. As you were telling that story, it occurred to me, like as a parent, I'm always like, why am I not given a handbook of instructions like how to do this stuff? And I realize your books are pretty much just that. I mean, I definitely think it's important for parents to put their own kind of values and sense of right and wrong on their discussions with their kids. But this is a great, great place to start.
It's like a script, basically. Yeah. It shows a mother starting this conversation. So I wanted to show an example of a mother that was proactive. Mm-hmm. And she starts talking about, you know, we're looking at this photo album or these photos of our family and our friends and great, but there are pictures that are bad pictures and it's called pornography. I'm going to tell you what it is and you don't have to be afraid, how it can make you feel, why it's dangerous, and then go on. And the great thing about a book is that there's a couple things. One is it has a beginning, so it gets you started pretty easy. It has a middle to give you some words and some things to discuss, and then it has an end. Because I don't know about you, but there have been times that I start a conversation with my kids with a purpose, like, okay, I'm going to teach you something. And then I go on and on and on a little too long. And maybe it even turns into a lecture, which I'm sure my kids would tell you that I did a little bit of that. This keeps you from, okay, beginning, middle, end, and then you're done. Now you can go back to it, and I hope you would. But then the other thing is that kids are impressed. Not only like when you teach them something, but if they see it in a book, that's another second voice, right? That's another second witness in a sense. That's, here's somebody, oh, it's in a book. Oh, well, the book says it, and my parents are saying it. So, you know, and then if you can get a few other people saying it, their teacher or a religious leader, whatever, if you can get your community saying it, then it's very strong. But a book does strengthen that. It strengthens the message for the child, the credibility.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was wondering, because my kids are older and I have gone through these books with them, but our conversations are different now. We talk about the reasons why pornography is bad and that the human body and sexuality are not bad in and of themselves, but what pornography, the meaning and the different frames that pornography puts on something so beautiful. And so our conversations are more technical, different now, but I wonder if you could give us your best tips and tricks for establishing open and honest lines of communication with our kids around the sensitive subject of pornography and later sex, because I feel like it's kind of an art to be able to take these topics and just openly communicate with your kids about it, to get to a place where they feel comfortable coming to you and you're not going to blush and you're not going to get embarrassed and you're not going to say, talk to your dad or you know, whatever it is, shy away from these important topics that your kids always feel like you will be honest and open and truthful with them about the facts of life.
Yeah. The parents, what better people to really teach their children? I did a study with an expert interviewer a few years ago. We interviewed 10 people who identified themselves as addicted to pornography or in the recovery process. They were very different. They had different reasons that they went to pornography, but the one thing they had in common, every single one of them, was that they did not have parents who taught them about sex. So they basically, and I'm going to put air quotes here, hired porn to do a job for them. And what's that job? The job they needed done was teach me about sex, because I'm hearing these cues. I'm seeing these cues in my environment, at the grocery store, on the magazine, dirty jokes from maybe my peers, whatever. And I need to know, but my parents aren't talking to me about this. So, hey, pornography. The kid doesn't know how bad it is. The kid doesn't know. They get a website from some a friend, or they, you know, they go searching with a few terms, find the most horrendous, violent, horrible pornography. It's so important that we start these conversations early and we get used to talking about this. I mean, if we have to practice, then do that. If you have to practice in the shower, whatever. I do that sometimes, you know? And I also say practice saying the actual names. When I speak, sometimes I even make people say, I usually make them say pornography, because even that can be hard. Just say the words. It's okay.
That's the best answer you could have ever given, because if we as parents don't step up and teach them, somebody else will.
Oh yeah. Google will.
We won't like.
YouTube will. Yep.
The other person is the
Pornhub. Pornhub will. Pornhub is like a YouTube of porn.
Yeah.
They're even branding themselves as a sex education.
Oh, great.
For teens. Oh, yeah. Great. And I'll tell you what it is. It's toxic sex education. Mm. Toxic sex education. Poisonous sex education. One of the things that I feel like parents do is like, okay, they get hung up with the mechanics of sex. This part goes into that part and does this and creates a baby and all that. Well, I think that's important, obviously. The biology, that's great. My mother used a plug and an outlet. That's what she...
That's a good idea.
I'm kind of looking at her like, what? So you just plug in every time you want a baby? She goes, no! So... She should not have shamed me, because I was totally clueless. But anyway, getting back to, you need to talk about healthy sexuality, about your values. What's the purpose of sex? The broader purpose of sex, not just to make babies, but the broader purpose. And I think the more we can talk to kids about that, the better. And so we have on our protectyoungminds.org website, we have an article called Healthy Sex versus Porn Sex, 7 Crucial Comparisons to Teach Your Kid Before XXX Hijacks Their Future. I have this chart which shows healthy sex, loving, builds emotional bonds, it's selfless, it values the whole person, it's real, it's uplifting, it's empowering. On the other side is exactly what porn teaches. Porn is violent, degrading, objectifying. It leads to isolation. People watching porn in their bedrooms are not out with other people. They're not getting married. There's so many porn addicts that have never even kissed a real person or had a real relationship. So it's artificial, it's degrading, and it's addicting. And And so healthy sex is not. There's a lot of biochemistry in that, actually. But if we can teach our children the difference that porn sex is 180 degrees, you know, opposite of healthy sex, then they can have more reasons to reject it. Because you can't just say it's bad. You have to continue to give them reasons why they need to reject it. And Monica, I think you will agree with me. We want to raise our children to have great sex lives.
Yes.
Right?
We
want that for them. We want that for ourselves. And we want that for them. And there's nothing wrong with that. And if we think about it, teaching kids about porn to reject porn is going to help them have a chance at a great sex life that is not tainted by the violence and the objectification and all of that. Because porn teaches people to commodify, especially women, and to consume them. It just kills empathy. And so I could go on and on, but that's kind of the answer to your question.
So well said. So how do most kids get exposed to internet pornography? And what do you say to the parents who feel like it's not going to happen to their kids because they have filters and other protective measures, and that they want to just put their heads in the sand because this sounds all too hard?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure none of your audience is that way. I'm sure they may have some fears and apprehensive, but the reason they're listening to this is so that they can be empowered. Now, I think filters are great because basically filters say, hey, I'm willing to actually do something to protect you, but I'm also going to help you install an internal filter, right? So you can filter your Wi-Fi and you can filter your devices. You can use products like Bark, which helps you to, it's more like monitoring. I think they also have a filter now, or Covenant Eyes is another one. But basically, it's the internal filter that you want your child to have, because that filter will go with them wherever they are. Now, as far as where kids get exposed to pornography, oh my goodness. Okay, we don't have another hour, so I'll be quick. But it's grandma's house, one place. The kid knows grandma doesn't have filters. I'm just going to go play a game. The kid knows how to erase their history. I've heard too many stories about kids getting into porn at grandma's house when they go babysitting. If I hear one more story of a five-year-old seeing porn on a school bus, I'm going to explode. It's just rampant. Every school bus is a triple X theater. I'm sad to say that, but you know, you need to teach your child what to do when someone comes up to show them something on their phone. Teach them to first say, what are you going to show me? What are you going to show me before I see this thing, right? And to look away and to use that candy plan. Pornography is everywhere. Kids can get to it through school databases, online libraries that the school has. They can get to porn. They can get to porn through an app that has an in-app browser. And a lot of filters don't follow the kid into the app. So like once they go in the app, you're like, you don't know where they've gone, what they've done, but they can get an in-app browser. And once they're off into the internet, boom. It's just so many places kids can get porn.
Yeah, you can't filter everything. That's for sure.
You can't.
So do you believe that kids can really develop an addiction to pornography? And is it the same as a chemical addiction to drugs or alcohol?
Yes, I do believe. I've heard too many stories. To my knowledge, there's not a study that's been done on porn addiction for younger children. I am going off of a ton of anecdotal stories of kids reaching out to us, to other people that are therapists, coaches, people that are helping others get, you know, in recovery. And yes, I do. We had a 13-year-old boy reach out to us recently through our Instagram account and said, I can't stop looking at this. I don't know what to do. You know, I hate myself for looking at it. Some kids get suicidal because what they're seeing is pretty violent. And that's what people don't realize, is it's very violent and degrading. And I can't even describe it on this podcast. That's how bad it is. But I don't want that to shut people down. Okay. Get started, even though it seems overwhelming. Just a lot of places they can see it, and really important to just assume that your child is going to see it. It's not if, it's when, and to be prepared with a plan. That's one of the best gifts you can give your kids, is to prepare them to thrive in the world that they're growing up in.
So important. So let's switch tacks and talk about the consequence a little bit. How can viewing pornography at a young age, or any age for that matter, affect our sexual health as we develop into adulthood and seek out relationships with other adults?
Exactly. So that goes back to the difference between healthy sex and porn sex. It's basically hijacking your child's sexual template, right? So your sexual template are the likes, the fetishes that some people get into, just your whole thoughts and opinions and beliefs about sex. What is it for? I have talked with so many wives, especially, but women also can get addicted to pornography. It's an equal opportunity offender. Addictor. And so it's very important to recognize that we are preparing our children to have a really great opportunity to have a great sex life when they're married. But if you've been spending 10 years watching porn and seeing women gagged and choked, and their hair pulled, and I won't even go on and on. It gets much, much worse than that. If you're seeing this, it affects your mind. It affects what you think of. The other thing that's happened is that, you know, we all hear about ED, erectile dysfunction. We think it's just for old men get this, right? It's a vascular problem. Well, there's been like 1,000% increase in ED for young men. And what they're finding is that it's not a vascular problem. It's a porn problem. They have topped out on porn to the point where they cannot have a real physical, even though they're attracted to their wife, they cannot get physically aroused unless they watch porn or think of porn. And so sometimes when I talk to teens, I'm like, do you want porn to be the third person in your marriage? Do you want your husband? Girls, do you want your husband to have to watch porn to get aroused enough to have, you know, intimacy with you? And guys, do you want your wives to be comparing you with the men in porn? And they're all like, no, but I never thought about it that way, right? They don't think about it. So we are preparing our children, and we put so much emphasis on educating them, making sure that they are prepared to earn a living. And we don't put a lot of emphasis, if any, on preparing them to have a great marriage or a great sex life.
You know, it's so funny because I talk so much about that as well. I talk about, you know, being a whole human, and part of that pie is our sexuality. And so as parents, I think it's just as important for them to get educated in all the different areas of life as well as their own sexuality. So that is our responsibility as parents, to help prepare our children to love all the parts of themselves, their physical selves, their mental selves, their emotional selves, and their sexual selves.
Absolutely. Monica, in fact, I have thought about that, writing another book just about like that for kids, like, because there's a lot of books out there already.
Yeah.
But this whole person,
yes,
whole person approach to teaching our kids about sex. And this whole, it's in there. Maybe we'll have to talk about this, Monica,
Let's
later.
Do it. We can collaborate because I usually get them when they're older. But if you can help decrease the number of women, mostly women, but there are some men, of course, that get to adulthood and they don't realize that part of themselves, that piece of the pie that is their sexuality and how important that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. All right. So what can parents do to give their children the best possible chance of success navigating through the challenging online world of pornography and come out, I don't want to say even unharmed, like come out whole and okay?
So first is start young. Sooner is safer. To warn your kids, to give them a simple definition, to warn them about the dangers, to reason with them. You got to persuade them, especially as they get older, persuade them and to give them a plan so they're not caught off guard. So that's the first thing. And then start young to teach them about sex, and don't just talk about the mechanics. Talk about the purposes, the higher purposes and the bonding and all the good, healthy things about sex, so that sex isn't just something like taboo or something, oh, we don't talk about that, or I'll tell you about that when you're 15 or 12 or whatever, that we start young and it just becomes a natural part of the conversations that we have with our children, because pornography does so much damage to marriages. It does so much damage to people. It is very highly addicting, because think about it. If your kid had a problem with meth, they would have to still go find someone to buy it from. They'd have to have money to buy it, and they'd have to sneak and figure out a place to like do it, right? Whatever. But porn, think about it, free on the internet, it's like accessible. accessible wherever you have a device, right? So it's affordable, free, accessible, and you can do it anonymously. You can hide it. There's certain physical characteristics of meth addicts. There's certain physical characteristics of alcoholics, all those other addictions. But porn, you can hide this one very easily. And so it's something that it's the perfect addiction. And we protect our children. You can't send an 8-year-old to the store to buy your cigarettes or to buy your alcohol or your beer. You cannot do that. You got to go yourself. But kids have so much access to porn.
Yeah.
And it's so available. It's the easiest addiction for them to get. And then it can lead to really other bad things besides addiction. It can lead to child on child harmful sexual behavior and, you know, a whole host of other things. So start young, be open. And if they have a question that you don't know how to answer, just say, oh, that is a great question. You are so smart. Oh my goodness. And I'm going to really think about that question. And you know what? Can we get together tomorrow evening or afternoon or at lunch or whenever, and I'm going to have an answer for you because we're in this together and I'm going to be there with you every step of the way, and I'm going to be your parent and I'm going to be your ally. And I get a little emotional because I have a hard time thinking about kids facing this alone. We need to step up and face it head on so they don't have to face it alone, because when they face it alone, they fall and then we get mad at them. What? You're into porn? How dare you? What a disgrace to our family. Well, you know what? If you haven't warned your kids, the odds are against them. So let's just step up, use the resources we have now and help them. And we have so many guides on protectyoungminds.org, free guides, how to talk to kids about porn. It's like a quick start guide and so many other free things that it's just such a great resource. So I hope your listeners will go there and just get all kinds of support, because that's what we want to do.
I love that so much. Well, we'll definitely get that out as much as we possibly can. We support you 100%. I just have two more questions. We had talked earlier about if parents are going through themselves the recovery from porn, you had mentioned how important it is to kind of share that with their children, to be open and honest about that. Can you kind of reiterate that again?
Yes. And we have a blog post that a couple of them written, I think, by fathers. We have a couple also written by mothers and women that have had dealt with porn addiction. The main thing is this: your kids are going to know something's wrong. Once it's out in the open, once both parents aren't dealing with this, they know something's wrong. There's stress. And so it's just better if you come out and tell them. Now, many parents, many therapists have used good pictures, bad pictures to help their clients actually tell their kids. So they read them good pictures, bad pictures, and then they say, when I was a little boy, when I was a little girl, I didn't have this. My parents didn't know how to warn me, and we didn't have such a problem, but I have this problem, and I'm working on it now. And these are one of the things that I'm working on, and I never want you to have this problem. That's why I'm reading this book or helping you have a plan. I'm talking to you about this. Be open. Now, obviously, that's going to be your decision, and you're going to think about it, and you're going to make the best decision for your family. But kids know. They have a feeling. Don't you think, Monica? They know things are going on. They can feel it. Better to just be open and honest with them than to just try to hide it. And you don't have to tell them everything, obviously. Good pictures, bad pictures is a good way to open it up for your kids, and also to say, you know, this is what mommy's been dealing with. This is what daddy's been dealing with. And we are working hard so that you never have to deal with this problem yourself.
I love it. Well, I feel like this whole episode has answered this, but I do have to ask, if you had the undivided attention of all the parents in the entire world for just a few minutes, what is the most important thing you could teach them about how to teach their kids about pornography?
I would say, first of all, I love you, I trust you, and I think you're awesome to even be concerned about this. So thank you. I would also say you can do this. It's not rocket science. There's a little brain science, but it's not hard once you get started. And there are tools out there to help you, educate you, and then to begin these conversations with your child. And then I would also say, children that are curious, even if you've taught them everything and then they decide to, it's not the end of the world, okay? We are all exposed to lots of crazy things and things that maybe we wish we could unsee. But that doesn't make us a bad person. What makes us a bad person is doing bad things, right? And sometimes I feel that we think that our child might be ruined You know, they're not ruined if they see pornography. You just have to help them through it to make a better decision. You have to love the child first and foremost and not judge them if they give in to their curiosity once or twice, or even if they have a pattern. The main thing is love. Love is the foundation. And then on top of that foundation, that relationship, we can build all of those other protective things, like teaching your children what pornography is, why it's harmful, what to do when they see it. So in a nutshell, I would say have confidence in yourself. Know that we're here to help you. You can do this. Teach your kids what it is, why it's harmful, and what to do when they see pornography, and just begin to have those conversations to persuade them to reject it and its toxic messages.
Kristen, I love you and I love your mission. I love what you are doing for parents everywhere. Can you please tell our listeners where to find you, your books, and more information and resources as they need them?
Sure. Well, we are on social media, which I don't want your kids to be on social media for a long time, but we are on Instagram and Facebook, Pinterest, you know, Twitter, and we can find us at protectyoungminds.org, where we have our blog and our free resources on our resources page, tons of guides that you can download. So we're on social media, and also the books, you can find more information at Protect Young Minds, but you can also go right to Amazon, because like I said before, they're number one bestsellers on Amazon. Just put in good pictures, bad pictures, and you will find them.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Monica. It's been great. Thank you.
Okay. Do you see why I absolutely love Kristen Jensen? Like, I wish she could come to my house and read me a bedtime story every night. She is just the sweetest, sweetest woman. And I absolutely love and respect her mission to protect young minds from the dangers of pornography and the toxic messages that lie within. I want to thank her for all of her work and encourage you, if you are a parent or a grandparent, to run quickly and get these books and make sure you look at the resources on Protect Young Minds, and don't wait a single second longer to start these conversations with your children in your home. As always, if you have any questions about this or any other episode on this podcast, please do not hesitate to reach out to me. You can set up a 30-minute relationship breakthrough call where we can look at your relationship and get clarity about where you are and where you would like to be. Join us next week as we continue our sexual health series, and enjoy the 4th of July this weekend. What a wonderful treat. I absolutely love celebrating the 4th with my family, and fireworks and barbecues and friends. So enjoy the long holiday weekend and join us next week. Until then, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.